हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 68. Adhikarana 8.
We are in the pulpit. Not yet completed.
Oh, from the previous one.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. The Supreme Personality Godhead does not need to do anything personal. For he has such potencies that anything he wants done will be done perfectly well through the control of material nature. Swabhaviki, jnana, bala, kriya, cha. Right, because he has this desire, the icha shakti, and so the jnana and kriya shaktis, they're taking care of all these things. Right? So then you have the kriya, and in kriya, in the first section you have jnana and bala. Right? Those are the two qualities of Sankarsana. Right? And then when those are applied, then you have kriya. Right? Because it's in your knowledge, your strength, those being applied, you get kriya. Right? And so these are in support of his icha. They're supporting that. Does that make sense? So his desire, so whatever he wants happens. Because he has these other energies that are taking care. Yes?
Does that mean that Krishna activates his desire potency, and then after that, everything works according to that? He doesn't have to be involved himself in whatever happens.
No, because the thing is he's involved in that. It's his energies that are doing, because he and his energies are non-different, but at the same time as they can go on, and he doesn't have to pay attention to them, because they already know what to do perfectly, because they're just trying to please him. So knowing what would please him, then they go about accomplishing that. Right? And then the other aspect is for any one principle that you're trying to get done, there's so many ways you can approach it. Just like, let's say, you're hungry. You want to eat. So how many ways can you make that arrangement? Right? It's unlimited. So that's the thing, is that the energies are unlimited. So these energies are unlimited means they're just different aspects of the Swarup Shakti. Swarup Shakti is the complete energy. And so then you take a certain portion of that, and then that will have its application in a particular situation. Or it will generate a particular flavor, that particular amount. Does that make sense? Because you have everything, and you take, means everything at once is there. And so that's appreciated. So that interaction between Radha and Krishna, then that's fully appreciated, because every aspect of Krishna she has. But then to support that, then you need for that an environment, and activities, like this, the jnana, kriya, and bala. You need those things there. So those being there, then it supports that what's going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just like, let's say, you have a whole house, and it has so many rooms you can do so many things in. But now when you want to eat, then you sit in the dining room. When you just want to relax, then you're sitting in the, living room or the family room. Whatever. Okay. Is this okay or it's crooked?
It's working.
Okay.
Maharaj, in any activity there are these principles. In any activity with jnana, bala, and kriya.
Yes. Prabhupada mentions this quite a bit, this jnana, kriya, and bala, shaktis. Like that. Does that make sense? So you're getting these different aspects of what's there, depending on what you're bringing up. So they take care of everything. So they're the ones that support his icha, his desire. That's why it says, he does not, for he has such potencies, anything he wants done, icha, it will be done perfectly well through the control of material nature. And then it mentions here, svabhaviki gyana balakriya cha. So that's on any level, those are always functioning. So then in the material world, it's the same thing functioning. It's just that now you're dealing with the transformed aspect instead of the original. So what we're meaning is, you have the whole house, right? And so the husband and wife of the house, they have the whole house. They can function anywhere. But depending, let's say they have some guests over, then that will be done in this part of the house. Or, you know, they're just, you know, lazing around in the morning on Sunday, then they'll be in another part of the house. Or, does that make sense? So whatever it is you want to do, you have an area for that. And so what's manifest is not the whole house, it's just that part of the house. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? The living room's not the whole house. Yes. It's part of the house. So in the same way, Radha and Krishna, they're the total Shakti and Shaktiman. But let's say the mood is in one particular way, then those energies will manifest to create that environment and everything. So that's then arranged by the Jnana Kriya and Bala Shaktis. They arrange that. So in other words, Yoga Maya arranges those aspects. So Yoga Maya is the Sarup Shakti, Radharani is the Sarup Shakti. What's the difference? Radharani is the she is the whole point of the whole thing of the pleasure of Krishna. So she's the Hladini. So that means then the Yoga Maya will take care of the Samvit and Sandini aspect. So the Samvit will be the Kriya, and the Sandini will be the Jnana and Bala. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Just want to make sure. So it's just too early in the morning, or something else is going on. Yeah.
And when we said that Sankarsan is Jnana and Bala, his attributes.
So that's from the Satkalya Gunas. You know, so that means there's
Kalyana
Gunas. Huh? Kalyana Gunas. Yeah.
And
Kriya. Kriya then would be then from that's the aspect of where it's being applied.
Abhideya.
Means you have that aspect of Abhideya, but it's just a matter of how you're putting it together, because you have the aspect that you do have the application of these energies, but then you also have the Lord's pastime. You know what I'm saying? So in this way, you can also take it that this is Prajumna. So these are all aspects of there, because he's the one that's doing, because the Kriya means it's arranging the situation, but the actual application of it's going to be when Krishna's interacting through his Icha Shakti with the devotees. Does that make sense? In other words, the pastime is Icha. The Lord being there, the form being, you know, the particular, mood he's in at the time. You know, like Prabhupada says, Krishna himself isn't that attractive. He's attractive, but he isn't as attractive as when he expands his internal potency. Then he becomes very attractive. You know what I'm saying? So that means it's a different, like a flavor. These men. So that's Icha. So that's based on rasa. I mean, just being God, then there's that godness aspect. But it's rasa that you see the really nice. So therefore, him in according to his desire, then has manifest the devotees, the dham, all these different aspects that are there. But at the same time, as it'll be described, how the Kriya does that, right? But what's the Kriya? So what's the difference? The active principle where you're interacting in pastimes, that's the Icha. The situational, that's the Kriya. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, there has to be action to produce the situation. Right? It means, like, let's say you want to arrange a program at your house. Right? Mm-hmm. So the program is the actual Abhideya, you could say. But you're going to have to do all kinds of work to arrange it. You know, move the furniture, or do this or that, or put up decorations, or prepare prasadam, or, you know what I'm saying? So it's all part of the thing. That's why on the spiritual platform, it just counts as devotional service, so you don't have to make so much distinction. You know, they definitely don't make a distinction between Sambit Sandini and Ladini in the spiritual world. You don't have to worry about that. We make the distinction because we tend to get involved in the material world. So by making the distinctions, we start to break down. We can see the difference between spiritual and material. We can see how everything comes from Krishna. You notice that the element of the oneness of everything is generally booted out because then of our attachment to Gyan. Right? But the mechanics of it are there. And so then we know that all the things are connected to Krishna, and so then we'll see it according to the different rules and regulations we're supposed to follow, our duties. Right? But mentality, you know, servant of Krishna, trying to do all this to Krishna, not necessarily making so much connection there. Because if you make the connection, because I'm engaging my conditioned nature because of my attachment to it, you know, or comfortableness with it. So if there's too much on that oneness aspect, then the problem comes is that then it's all, I'm already good. Right? But then when it goes farther, we see when we get to 10th canto, we're already starting in 9th canto, but 10th canto, then that oneness of everything reminds you of Krishna. So then everything that you do is only a connection with how it will please Krishna in that situation. So whatever the Jnana Kriya Bala Shaktis have arranged, you're just going to see it in the for the pleasure of Krishna, because the desire for sense gratification has been given up. Right? Because as long as there's a desire for sense gratification, there'll be the element of trying to connect these things to our conditioned nature rather than trying to connect our conditioned nature to Krishna. Right? Because everything is Krishna, so we're already connected to Krishna. But because we don't know that, we're not acting in that consciousness. Therefore, we are, that's called material. So everything gives a temporary. You're identifying with the temporary, you get a temporary result. But when you see everything connected to Krishna, then you see it on the eternal platform, so everything has an eternal result. Right? And when that's seen in connection with Krishna in devotion, then it gets you that eternal devotion result. Right? Because just using the tools of jnana to see it in connection with Krishna, it's still not quite enough. Because it's the bhakti that impresses Krishna, because he already is everything. So it's not that now we figured out some jnana, now Krishna's going to be happy.
Can we say that in the matter of preaching, we have to stress first sambandha?
Means,
according to this, jnana and bala?
Means you do, but the point is people don't, you have thinking, feeling, and willing. And it's still there's willing that there's no doing. Because technically it's thinking, feeling, willing, then doing. Right? So it is sambandha jnana, but you have to bring out all the aspects of sambandha jnana. Right? Because thinking, feeling, and willing are all going to be sambandha.
Maybe I didn't ask correctly. We do present prayojana as well, and abhideya.
Yes, but it's about a goal, but we're here trying to get that goal.
But I think I wanted to ask if that's important to stress the proper sambandha.
Yes, it is.
As the main thing?
Not as the main, it means it just depends upon how the individual is taking it, or the group, you know, dynamic, is that you're trying to point out that there is a goal, so there's, you know, and who you are, that's your natural goal. Because otherwise, people, due to misidentification, they come up with goals that are not actually important for them. Right? So if we redo that, but then it's why do that? Because of the goal. See, it's not just knowing the sambandha is only of value when it's seen in relationship to the prayojana. Because otherwise, you can use it for so many things. Right, because all the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, you can gain all of those from this proper sambandha jnana. You know, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. How do the kshatriyas go and fight so comfortably on the battlefield? Because they know they're not the body. Right? So they have that knowledge. That may not be their focus, but they have that knowledge. Same with the karmakandi. They're just going to spend his whole lifetime doing all these yajnas and all that. For what? For the next life. So they have to have that faith in that they're the soul, and that they, as that same individual, go on and they'll enjoy themselves later. You know. So, but they're using it for material purpose. So that's the thing, is all this, these branches of knowledge, they can have that aspect. Is that, so therefore the prayojana also has to be brought out. But it's still all part of sambandhagyan, because it's just knowledge. Then you try to engage them. And of that, if they can catch knowledge, then that's good. But if not, you can just engage. So therefore, kirtan, prasad, you know, hearing, when you're discussing the philosophy, that's also engaging them. So the idea is that they're engaged in doing something, or they can help with things around the temple. Like I mentioned that once. I can't remember who came in. They were expressing that someone was doing something in the temple, decorating for a festival, and someone else came in and was wondering, hey, can I help? And then they started engaging him. They started kind of, I'd say, you know, chuckling or like that. And they wonder, what are you laughing about? He says that, somehow or another walked in here, and now you're helping me with this. What you don't know is that your material existence is finished. You know, you just continue like this, you'll go back to Godhead. You know, so that's why that has that whole aspect to the program. If you overemphasize any one thing, it's just like salt is important, but if you overemphasize it, it gets a little strange. You know, so everything's important, but in its balance. So you have to see, for who you're discussing with, then what will work better. You know, it's like we were discussing more technical points, and then somebody raised their hand and said, can you tell a story? You know, so like that. And, you know, and so that's how it's been going since, right? Like that. So that's the whole idea, is that it, you see what works in the situation. Does that make sense? You know, well, if you're a Czech Republic, you tell a story, it's, can you tell something analytical? You know, like that, yeah. So, okay, similarly, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord are not meant to struggle for existence. Right? They're not meant to struggle. So are you struggling?
No.
No, okay, good, good. So that's why the devotee sets his existence at something that he doesn't have to struggle for.
Depends what's your sambandha. Where you start, which end.
Yeah, but the point is that you're not meant to struggle. It doesn't mean you aren't struggling, but you're not meant to.
Next slide.
Yeah. The devotees who are fully engaged in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, more than 10,000 men and women all over the world, have no steady or permanent occupation. Yet we actually see that they are maintained very opulently. Yeah, because the life is simple. That's the meaning. It's very opulent if you look at it in one way, but in another way, nothing's theirs, and nothing's specific or steady. You know, the way of that, what you're doing, what you're doing, whatever's needful. You're preaching here, then you find that, okay, you go preach somewhere else or like that. Does that make sense? So we see is that it's working, maybe by modern standards or by what we'd actually want. Then it's not, it's like the boat pullers pulling the boat on the side of the Ganges. You know, they would like to, if they had, you know, so much money, they'd just cover the whole bank with mattresses, so when they walk on it, it would be soft. May not be necessary, but, yes.
You know, this particular point was made in the 70s when movement was about brahmacharis. Nowadays, if you ask grihasthas, they don't believe in this statement.
Yeah, so it means it's just that there's so many things, but what do you believe in? Was
I believe in karma, means I have to work, I have to maintain my family. It's not going to
Yes, but
like
but the thing is what the results are coming from where? Just like means this is Thursday.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? And the grihastha is going out and he's eating and he's buying things. Did his work pay them for that today? He did his work today. Did they pay him for that today? No, that's last week's pay.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Whatever you're supposed to get this life, you've already done the work from last life. So, but the point is that if you want to get paid next life, then you got to work this life.
Yeah. Then the argument comes, because we discussed it a little bit, is that some people, you have certain amount for the life, but you can spend it within 1 year. You can leave some inheritance to your grandchildren.
Yeah. So, but the point is they're not meant to struggle for existence, so you're not meant to spend it all in 1 year. Means you can do that at your free will. But the point is devotional service means you don't need to do that. It's just what is necessary, that's what you do. Now, for each individual, what's necessary, then that will be different. But the point is it's not what you want, it's what you need. Does that make sense? Like, going into Calcutta means, you know, there's work that you could do, plus you could stop at a shop and buy a lakh worth of saris, right? And every time you go in, you could do that. But do you need to do that?
Yes. Yeah. This is a tricky question.
No, but the point is it depends also where they are on the ark. You know, how many saris are already there?
Yeah.
You know? No, I didn't say about going shopping. I said about that, you know what I'm saying? So if you look at it, it's not necessarily that it's there. It's a nice thing to do, but it's not necessarily important. You know what I'm saying? If there aren't, a couple starting off, they don't have stuff, yes, then it is important. But once there's so much there that, you know, there's already a volume of whatever's the social position on which the girl works, then you actually don't need more than that. You know what I'm saying? You can get something, but then you might give away something or, you know, stuff like that. So you have a level that you stay at. You know what I'm saying? So it's not more than what's there. So if money is there and the time is there, then you can get. But let's say time is not there or money, there's something else more important, then we'll go into that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's working on what's necessary. Because the idea is so many things are necessary, but then when you go to apply it, you find that they're not so much. So basically, then you could say, in this regard, as far as a practical thing goes, because you were saying, you know, back in the 70s, mainly brahmacharis, there were lots of grihasthas then also. You know, like our temple president was a grihastha and like this. So it's not that there weren't grihasthas. It's just that they were functioning on, you know, on the Sudama Vipra platform of Naishkar. You know? And they were getting the spiritual benefit for it. But now the difficulty comes is, who can bring this out? Because it means you hear the philosophy, it can be explained so that at least the theory of it can be appreciated. And that anybody can do. But if you want, let's say, on a regular basis, a practical way of dealing with it and how to apply it in your life for the situation you're in, then the natural guides for that are vanaprasthas. Right? Because they've done it. Because the whole idea of vanaprastha is now, after 20, 30 years, you've worked out actually what you do need. Right? Yeah. You know, I mean, just giving the average, you have 25 years to figure out what it is that you actually need. You know? And so during that 25 years, you try this, you try that, and you figure out you actually don't need, you know, as many things as would be interesting.
The yeah. painful thing is finally you figured it out and you have to give it up.
No, but why do you have to give it up if you're sticking to just what you actually need?
Because what you actually need is very minimum.
Yeah, so, but that's what you actually need, so you don't have to give that up. You know, you have to give up all the stuff that you want but don't actually need. You know, but that's the whole point. After 25, 30 years, it starts to get old. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is those who have done that, they're comfortable, they're satisfied. Right? They're a functioning couple that are preaching and doing all the different things. They can then show what is the things and what are the different aspects that are there. And it just, it helps the process. Problem is that's not happening. Because it's, you know, how you say, at least according to the Western piety, it has to be a little more extreme than just balanced. You know, it's all or nothing. You know? It's either full fast or half a bucket of halva. There's nothing in between. Right? You know? Is that right? Yeah.
Well, like you said, devotees were fully engaged.
Yes.
So devotees were less fully engaged.
Yes, but that's the idea, is then from those who are fully engaged, they can get inspiration, both by the principle of the point and from those who they themselves have gone through the process and now can give you some understanding of it. Because they'll have the vigyan from that practice.
It seems that it is one of the problems in this current that many devotees are not fully engaged.
Yes, because there's the idea that you to get what you require, you can't be fully engaged. So because of that illusory concept, then that's the problem. Because fully engaged means you're seeing everything in connection to Krishna. So the gopis are at home doing their housework, but they're fully engaged in Krishna's service. Because they don't see it separate from Krishna. Because what we're taking it is, means is the direct activities of devotional service, we're taking it, if you're not doing those, you're not actually doing any service. Mm-hmm. So where does that come from? That comes from a misunderstanding, you know, that these are only spiritual, everything else is material. And that works very well when you're not in the household or ashram. You know, you can have that conviction. Now the problem is, since it's not there, they may not be on that level of realization to see everything connected to Krishna and be renounced. Therefore, not being renounced, then they have to deal with all this. But then, they've just spent X amount of years that dealing with this is all Maya. So now, they have to deal with it. They'll get married. They'll get involved. And now, instead of, it's still Maya, you know, and so how to convert it to Krishna, because it's Maya, because it's all black and white, then it has to be thrown out. But they attach to it, they can't throw it out. That means that there's a problem with the other side. Yes. It's fanatic to look at it like that. It's Maya and all this and that. And not being real, they're not being balanced. All, you know, so many different things are coming up. And so then they still are not seeing it in relation to Krishna. But now it's like it's okay to be in Maya. It's practical. That's just what household life means. And, you know, more than that's fanatical. And so it's not actually a understanding of the philosophy in the Krishna consciousness there. Because as we see here is that so many of these personalities in Bhagavatam, they were all householders. And it didn't stop them from being highly advanced or paramahamsas or like that. So it's a matter of the change, and that's the problem. It means you don't have to change anything, you just change the consciousness. Once you change the consciousness about Krishna, then if there's no attachment, you only engage in activities that are actually required. You know what I'm saying? Let's say for exercise, you need to go out and do some walking or running. Right? Now, generally, if we go out walking or running, I mean, a few people run, most people jog, right? Now, technically, do you need, you know, some shoes that had cost you a couple of $100?
No.
No. You know, you could go out and run in your flip-flops, you know. I mean, the Zulus won, you know, the whole southern half of, you know, how you say, Africa by running around in flip-flops. Right? And it probably did them well in all the, you know, Hawaiian wars also. You know, so, and it's also a very popular thing, except in winter, but, you know, barefoot running also has this advantage because you run differently. It's actually better for your health the way you run. So some of the professional runners who their background was barefoot running, even though they have shoes, they still run in that style. And the fun part is they're the ones that win the gold. You know what I'm saying? So you don't actually need those shoes. You know, you don't need those track pants. You don't need the whole outfit. So that means all the effort to go and get it, all the effort to wear it, and you can't have just one. Okay, the guy can. But I mean, well, he has to have at least two or three so they can be washed, but they don't have to be different. But the lady has to have all different varieties and colors, because for the guy, he's just going out and jogging. For the lady, when she jogs, the other guys go by, they got to notice. You know, the other lady, whoa, what's she wearing? You know, and then they'll go, you know, they'll just keep running down to the store and buy, you know, like that. You know, hey, I want this thing in green, you know, like that. You know. You know what I'm saying? So, with time, then you figure out what does work. You don't care about impressing all these, you know, people that on this platform that actually doesn't have any real substance. You know what I'm saying? So you know what works. You wear it. It looks good. And that's good enough. So that's the thing. The variety that's there, the volume that's there is not necessary. You figure out this much is good. You know, all the places you want to go and all, you know, because otherwise it's, you know, when you're younger, see the whole world, experience everything. But after a while, you figure out the whole world's basically the same wherever you are. It's the same stupid thing. And so, you know, it's like, let's say, discussing with someone the other day, and they were talking about pizza, and they were saying, yeah, this place, it's decent. And then they were going, okay, yeah, and where else? Okay, there's one place in Sydney. Just that place and that, but it's okay. And then they're thinking of everywhere else they've been in the world, and they're going, nope, nothing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the idea, is, oh, we go to here, go to there, then it's, you know, but it's, no. It's just like, what do you call it? Most disappointing Italian food that I ever had was in Italy. Like that. One person was good cook, and that was really good. But I was there, you know, because the idea is, it's Italy, it's all, no, but that's saying that everybody knows how to cook. No, they're Italians, but they don't know how to cook. You know? They can eat, you know. You just have to boil something, and like that. And the other thing that also, the most disappointing Chinese was in China. What to do? Same with Thai. Right, you know, so it's somewhere else, because all the people that are good at it, they went somewhere else, because, you know, how much money you'll make there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is then you figure out with time, is it's not that guy was fasting, so he didn't like the talking about the food, or, no? Okay. So the whole point comes down is that after a while, you figure out that there's just a few things that are good. You have some place to stay that's clean. You know, you have something to eat that's, you know, it's going to be okay, like this. And you have that, the main part is going to be association of devotees, kirtan, this and that. So that's why you see vanaprasas, instead of traveling around to enjoy themselves, they're going to places of pilgrimage. So they would go from festival to festival, or, you know, that kind of a thing. The festival's happening in this place, that's where it is. You know, like in Europe, I think, in the Sringa Kshetra, so many devotees go up there for that festival. And then I think it was, where is it, Belgium, they go, many go there for Janmashtami or Radhastami. So different places, and there's different festivals that you go for. Like that, you know, if it's, I'd say, Harinam on the Riviera, then you're going to go to Paris, you know, go to France, you know, like that. So, like that. Some may say you can go to Italy, but, you know, there's differences of opinion there. Does this make sense? So that's the whole point, is vanaprastha means you've kind of worked that out. And so when that's there, then you can encourage the grihasthas that, yes, you know, you do, but you have to understand is that you want these things, but that means then the anxiety of that desire goes along with it. While if you don't want anxiety, then give up so much superfluous desire. You know? Because the point is if I'm in anxiety about it, it doesn't make it happen any quicker. You know, it's just like, let's say you're going to Calcutta after 6 weeks. So being anxiety about what you want to get in Calcutta and why you need it for 6 weeks, is that going to be any better than, okay, don't worry about it, and after 6 weeks I'll go to Calcutta, I'll buy it. You understand? So a lot of the anxiety is created by ourselves with the idea that by thinking about it, it makes it happen. It may be all the law of attraction, but somehow or another, Calcutta doesn't then get any closer by thinking about it all the time. In fact, you wouldn't want it to. Let it stay over there. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that the vanaprastha, when that's there, then they're someone who can take advantage for themselves very nicely, and at the same time they can give that advice to the grihasthas. Because that's why it's said that they live on the edge of the village or the edge of the forest, whichever works and is comfortable, but they're accessible. So then the... No, it's already... See, you're sitting on that side. There is this strange thing that you can put this on this side. It may be strange and not commonly practiced, but it does work. You don't have to trip over cords and this and that. Yes, so that's why then the Varnashram system has the advantages. If people are brahmacharis, they get trained very nicely. Then, by that training, they can either remain brahmacharis, or if they're going to get married, they have the training to function as grihasthas. Then they can fall back on that as vanaprasthas. Mm-hmm. Right? So much of why people think this is not possible, because they have no experience of it. Right? So before us, someone, joined, they took up that renounced lifestyle. They lived in the ashram for some time, and then after they got married. But then with time, it's just they kind of stay out in the ozone, and they never do that. A few may, but it's not like it's a recommended system of training. Because the idea is that you're a brahmachari and you don't get married, or you get married. Not you become a brahmachari and then get married. That concept, still we're waiting for the penny to drop. is that Prabhupada said a first class brahmachari means is a first class grihastha. So that means is that you can be a good brahmachari but get married. Rather, now the idea is only bad brahmacharis get married. No. That bad brahmacharis will get married. That's guaranteed. But good brahmacharis, when they get married, then you have something solid. Well, they're trying to figure it out the door. Yeah. Does that make sense? So when it's understood the system, how it works, there's all the things that devotees talk about and want. It's like all the community and this and that. Who has time to develop community? Grihasthas should be developing community. But they can put in certain part. Now, who has time that they could put more time into developing community? Right? Vanaprasthas. Because they have less material things to do, and they're filling that gap of the less material with spiritual. And spiritual means preaching, cultivating, and all these kinds of things. And two, the other advantage is there, it's not a matter of all this, you don't have so much difficulty with profiling. Right? And the younger grihasthas, then it's all this and that and so many things. Well, then the vanaprasthas, then there's no competition. It's already been there, done that,
No vanaprasthas anyway, though.
That's the whole thing, but why not? Because it's not seen as an actual viable thing. Because for most people, when they think of vanaprastha, what do they think? What color is the guy wearing? Yeah. So that means... there's only that concept of, just like we say, brahmachari, he's not married, he's never going to get married and all that, and then if he can't make it, okay, what to do? And vanaprastha means then he just walks out on the family and then he's a vanaprastha. But the idea that someone's a brahmachari to get trained how to, you know, properly be a grahasta, because there's this idea is no, unless you're, you know, in the brahmachari ashram, you know, you're taught how to, you know, who puts the bread in the toaster first and all that, then you're not being trained in grihastha ashram, right? Rather than a service attitude and humility and all those kind of things, forgiveness and all that. So then there's a misconception of what actually makes a grihastha ashram work. And at the same time as then retiring from grihastha ashram means you retire from trying to expand the ashram. You're just maintaining what is necessary. So you're expanding, and after a while you figure out what works and doesn't work, you start to, you know, just reduce those things that aren't necessary. So what you're left at the end, that's what you function with in vanaprastha. And so then husband and wife can work together and do this and that. So you have many couples who do that. They preach, they travel, they do all kinds of nice things, but they're not the prominent ones. Like that, because we've made this up. Prabhupada's told us what the varnashram is, but we have our own idea. So that's the thing. And then our own idea doesn't work so well, and then we'll blame the varnashram rather than blame our understanding of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that when you have that in place, then it will work. And so then the grihastha ashram would go so much more smoother, because you have people who are working within the field, have experience in the field, but are detached from the field. And so with that, then it goes on. So because it's all or nothing, then you have a lot, you know, a lot of those that could be vanaprasthas and benefit the grihastha community are just now becoming grihasthas after, you know, a long time of not being so great brahmacharis. You know, or whatever, or they're on their third marriage, or what is it, third time's a charm, right? So, oh, that was Bhavananda. I didn't know it was Bhavananda.
I hope.
I've been sent on a mission by Radha Madhava. That they missed you. Am I interrupting your class?
Okay, so that was him there trying to get in.
We almost chased him away.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you don't chase him away. He'll find you. Okay, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Anayas chintayanto mam ye jana parayupasate. Tesham nitya bhiyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack and preserve what they have. The devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next, where they will stay or what they will eat, for everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is promised. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhaktav pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. From all angles of vision, therefore, in all circumstances, if one fully surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of one struggling for existence. In this connection, the commentary by Sri Madhvacharya, who quotes from the Tantra Bhagavat, is very meaningful. So, what is the devotee worried about? Because this is also the point of not quite catching. Just like we were saying, is that brahmacharya is a training for, is what everyone goes through to get trained so that you have the qualities required to function in grihastha life. Because you can say is that, no, but where's the training grihastha life is? Well, what training do people go through? You know, what is there? What it means, is there training anywhere? So unless you've heard from someone, you know, some parents, relatives, some elder friend, and some advice on it, then where's the training? You know? So there isn't any in that way. Because you've grown up in a household. So then, and you're taking part in that. So then to take part nicely, then you have to have that service attitude, be clean, all these different things that are going on in household life. So those qualities and practices, those are what's important. That being important, then the grihastha ashram will go nice. So thinking that it's some knowledge and technique when it's actually qualities. Right? And so then the other aspect is that we're thinking is, no, unless I'm worried about work and worried about money, we won't get money. But Krishna says, no, you perform your duties. So grihastha, according to the particular nature they have, they perform occupational duties that generate some income. But what income will come, they don't have to worry about. They just have to worry about performing the duties. Because we don't produce the results. We can perform the work, but we don't produce the results. Because we have to remember, it's Krishna. His energy is transforming, not us. We can only be instrumental in that which thing we take part in. That's then the results that we're connected with. Because otherwise, unlimited results are going on. But we're connected with those ones that we have connection with. Right? So if I perform the work and get a result, that's considered honest. Right? But if someone else did the work and got the result and I take that, that's called stealing. So connecting ourselves to a result, not through our occupational duty, that's cheating. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that you're focused on performing your duty, not on the results. But nowadays, it's all about knowledge and skills to what result I can get, rather than performance of duties. Right? Because it's thought, if I'm doing the duties, then it's my anxiety and my total trying to control everything that's what makes it happen. When it's not, it's my surrender to the Lord and performance of duties that makes it happen. So that's the anxiety that comes up, is that what we're saying here is that everything's taken care of. Then the thought comes up of that we're doing nothing. But you see, devotees are busy all day. Like that. Money was needed. They were doing things that generated money, but was it their money? No, it was Krishna's money. Did they not get any benefit from that? They got so much benefit. Now, as soon as they want specific benefit and a certain volume of benefit, that's when the problem starts. Then, okay, you have a sense of possession, then you have to go out and do it yourself. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's the whole thing, is that when it's not that anything changes, it's how you perceive of it. And if you change that perception, then that anxiety goes away. Right? It doesn't mean you're not thinking how to do it properly and all this, but the point is how to do it properly for Krishna. So you have the knowledge and skills how to apply that, but what's the attitude in trying to make Krishna pleased? Mm-hmm. Right? So that makes sense?
Maharaj.
Yes.
Vanaprastha Ashram, here it is mentioned about how Krishna, you know, he protects whatever we have and everything. So
yes.
Now when a devotee wants to enter the Vanaprastha Ashram, this is a ISKCON scenario. So then, is it necessary that he should have some strong financial bank balance, you know, with him?
It means, should he have a strong financial bank balance? The point is it depends how the couple wants to function. Now, everybody has their own idea, but what is actually required is another thing. Does that make sense? You know, because it's what is the lifestyle? Because if you have a strong bank balance, what's the point of it? What are they going to do with it? Why do they need a strong bank balance? What are they? What will be done with that bank balance?
Medicines and everything, if required in the future.
Medicines and all that, if required in the future. Maybe, maybe it'll be there, maybe not. But the point is can you guarantee that will be there? Not that if it's part of what you do, that you invest and you do these things, but can you guarantee?
No.
You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is you have something, but can you guarantee that it's worth that? You have some property, can you guarantee it's worth that? You bought property in one neighborhood. And then the whole demographic of the neighborhood changes. Now it's worth half the money that it was before. So can you guarantee? You know, you have money in the bank and we're going to do that and it's invested and we'll get so much per year and things like that. I can remember back in the 80s, it means you got 10 to 12% was what you got. Now I don't know what it's down to, something very small. 2%. Yeah, so that means all those investments, and now you're getting 2%. I'm not sure if 2% even maintains for the inflation. Yeah, I'm not sure if it does. So, you know, is it, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is we're putting in these things. Point is, if Krishna wants to protect you, you will be. So you perform your duties, you put money away. It means Rupa Goswami said 1/4 is put away for emergency. So that's what you do. Do people put away 1/4 of their money? You know, and then they're talking about investments, but they won't follow Shastra, but they'll do something else and say, oh, I need this. So have you been putting away 25%? It adds up very fast. And the funny part is basically for what you get with 100% of your money, you get for 75% of your money. 75, that does okay. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And 25, you put it away. Within a short time, it's a huge amount of money. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So the Vanaprastha Ashram.
You understand? So they're talking about, oh, you have to have money in that, but are they following what Shastra says to have that money? You know? Mm-hmm. Just like I remember one devotee was telling me that he shifted from this side of India to that side. I think I mentioned this before. Here in Calcutta, he has a huge apartment and a small car, right? Because, you know, the traffic and all that, you want a small car so you can park. Like, if you have a small car, you can park anywhere, right? Because you ever notice wherever you want to park, the place is just a little too small for you? You know, through this, here we have the bigger one, the Innova, you know, and there's a spot. We can't get into it, but there's a model that's just a little smaller than the Innova. Like that, they're parking in the spot. You know? So the smaller the car, you know. That's why they call that one car smart. Because it is.
It's a bit too smart.
You know? Especially what you're buying. If you're going out shopping, you're going to Tiffany's, then it's plenty big enough. You know? If you're going down to Dollar General, then no, you need a truck. Yeah, so.
Sometimes the road are just fit for a smaller car to enter, and a big car cannot enter.
Yeah. I like that. So therefore, his thing was, I live in my place, and people come over to my place. So the place is big, and to get around Calcutta, who cares? It's a dump anyway. But then when he shifted to the other side of India, He got a big place and a small car. And then some people were telling him, what are you doing? You're supposed to have a small place and a big car. So people think, wow, this guy is impressive, like that. So,
what did he do?
He moved back to Calcutta. Does that make sense? So therefore, when we say is, oh, we need all this and that, the bank, but the point is what is the points that is there? Like for a car, how long will a car last?
5 years.
Okay. And now let's say you want a good car. How much is that going to cost? It means you're going to impress people. It's, you know, 50, 60, you know, how do you say it, lakhs or crores or whatever? It means lakh, right? Yeah. It's going to impress somebody. You're not going to impress somebody unless you roll up in, you know, something that's not from around here, like that, okay? And so then, but you can buy an apartment for that much money. And how long will that last?
Who knows?
That's another thing. Depends who built it, yeah. But I'm just saying, generally you think of an apartment lasting longer than 5 years. And a car, technically, if you really want to keep on top of it, if you really take care of it, 5 years. Otherwise, every 2 years you want to turn it over. Right? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, are we investing properly? So this whole thing is, yes, for the lifestyle that's there, we may say, oh, you have to have a huge bank balance and all that. But if that's the thing, have they been doing that since then in their teens? Their first money they're making, are they putting some away? Or are they just going out and buying the latest, you know, video games and all that kind of jazz? So where is that being discussed? They're saying, oh, you need a big bank balance. But where is it being discussed how you're going to get that big bank balance? They're thinking, no, I'll work hard. That's how I'll get the big bank balance. No, you save from whatever you have. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that we're saying, no, it's not possible. All these Vedic courses possible. Right? Means a boatload means literally. It means it's a saying in an American saying that a boatload of something means a whole lot. But Rupa Goswami literally left a boatload of coins, gold coins, for Sanatana Goswami to use. And so that's by the method of just he kept putting away one quarter. And so then he's got a boatload of coins. So the thing is they're thinking, oh, you like that, and now it's time for Vanaprastha, but we can't because we have to put this much money away. How come they haven't been doing that since they were, you know, younger? You know, right? Because they're already getting their job, they're getting their money, they're getting their thing before they're getting married, right? We're talking Indians here, right? Yeah. Not you get married and, oh, love will work out everything, and yeah, like that. So, but we're talking, you know, understand? So that means he's been making money before, and it's even easier to save before you're married, right? It means you just need the house and a few things. You don't need everything else that goes along with it, right? No? Yeah. So that means you could save even more. So that is not in place, and that's what Rupa Goswami says. So if we know that's what it is, then are we telling young couples that they should be doing that? Have you ever heard anybody say put aside 25%? No, nobody says that. That's what Rupa Goswami says.
That we do by default.
Huh?
We do it default.
Do it default?
Yeah, that's default, putting aside luxuries.
Yes, but is that the regular thing that's going on? So why do they say they need a big bank balance? If you've been working for 30, 40 years, why you don't have that already?
Because the concept of the Vanaprastha staying in the temple, that means the man, not the woman. So then the temple president usually mentions that, you know, you all should have your own bank balance so that in emergency then you should not depend.
But no, but why doesn't they already have that?
They have a criteria, you know, about a limit of a bank balance. Let's say, you know, 5 crores, you know. And maybe if he has 2 crores, then he's not eligible to enter the Vanaprastha ashram. This is not...
I see. Yeah. So then he can be Vanaprastha at home and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
The downside of professionals.
Under a tree.
Huh? Yeah. They can live at home. Because living in a temple doesn't mean that they're not interacting with the family. It just means that they stay there.
And the bank balance.
Hmm?
Please face the bank balance.
Practical questions. Yeah. It's a whole, means that it's a matter of the particular consciousness that's there. That has to be understood. That consciousness, that mood, that's what makes things work. If we don't catch that, then, you know, we'll never. So why would 5 crores do it? You know what I'm saying? Why is that going to cost them that much?
Yeah, because now everything is becoming expensive. So, like, that's what you mean.
Yeah, but then if everything's expensive, it means people make more money because there's inflation. So, therefore, you know. Point is, otherwise, stay at home. Why do you care about the temple? You can go to the temple all day. Just stay at home.
Maharaj, can you say that the Brahmachari and the Sannyas Ashram are dependent and Vanaprastha and Grihastha are independent ashrams?
Vanaprastha is also independent.
Yeah, yeah, they are also. So two are dependent and two are independent.
Grihastha is dependent. Yes. The other
independent. And even Vanaprastha is independent. Whereas the other two are...
Which angle are you taking here?
From the temple point of view.
From the temple point of view. What is that? What does that have to
that
do with it? Because the sannyasi is independent also. What has it got to do with the temple? Temple likes, doesn't like. He can walk out. He doesn't need the temple. Brahmachari, he needs the ashram. But the other three don't. You know, the temple is the center of worship, association, so the spiritual aspect is there. But as far as maintenance goes, the other three are independent.
Mm-hmm.
They go there because that's where the main association is. You know, that's where people can come together. But... explaining the words Satyasya Yonim, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the avatari, the origin of all incarnations. All incarnations are the absolute truth. Yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the origin of all incarnations. Right? So you have the personality of Godhead, they're all the absolute truth, but then Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because he's the origin of all incarnations. Dipartir eva hidasantaram apyupetya dipayate. Brahma Samhita 5:46. There may be many lamps, all equal in power. Yet there is a first lamp, a second lamp, a third lamp, and so on. Similarly, there are many incarnations who are compared to lamps. But the first lamp, the original personality of Godhead, is Krishna. Govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. We have asterisk here? Is that...
No, it is just come by mistake.
Okay. The demigods must offer obedience to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one might argue that since the Supreme Godhead was within the womb of Devaki, he was also coming in a material body. Why then should he be worshipped? Why should one make a distinction between an ordinary living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? These questions are answered in the following verses.
Stop.
Right? Okay. Okay, Adhikarana 8. All names are names of Brahman.
The last one.
Okay. Okay. All names in this world are names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva Vyakyatadhikaranam. Sutra reference 1428. Samshaya. So the doubt. No, Samshaya is the doubt?
Yes.
Yes. Can the conclusion already shown be accepted or not? This Adhikarana is written to dispel this doubt. Adhikarana Prakashika. If the gist of a name doesn't contradict the teachings of the Vedas, one must consider the ordinary name. Otherwise, the meaning of the name is Lord Vishnu. In Vedanta Sutta 2.3.15, the author proves that in truth, names of potencies are primarily the names of the master of these potencies. So it's the Lord who is doing all these things. Just like before Indra, we take the Indra is the demigod, so it has that form, but actually that potency that makes Indra work is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his Indra-ness comes from Krishna. So all words in this way refer to Krishna, because when we refer to something, we're referring to something and what it does, how it, you know, that it's capable of, what its purpose is. So that it has the potency to do that, that's Krishna. Does that make sense? So we're actually referring to Krishna. Right? So if we're saying, okay, this machine here is the recorder, like this. But the point is the potency that it can do that is Krishna. Right? Why can it do that? It can do that, it can store the knowledge. Where is this principle of storing knowledge? That's the memory. Right? What is that? That's part of intelligence. So where does that potency come from? That's part of Krishna's potency. So that one can understand how to do that in a variety of digital or analog ways, then it's still based on Krishna's principle. If there wasn't a principle of memory, there'd be no such thing as this. And if there's no memory, no one would even think about recording things because they don't remember that you should even turn it on. Right? So it's not going to happen. There's no worry. So it's based on Krishna. So the potency that makes this ability to, through sound, then record things, then that's what we do. Right? Because also you see in memory, it can be through smell, through experience, through what you've seen, through what you've tasted. Right? So man is very happy that he's able to work out something that can keep the memory from sound. So one of the senses. But the what Krishna's arranged with the subtle gross body is that all the experiences from all five senses can be kept in the memory. Does that make sense? So it's already more. So this is just part of what Krishna's given. So that's the meaning is that all words actually ultimately are revealing Vishnu. Right. So if it means by what the Veda's saying. And what the thing itself is called or what it does is in line with what the verse says, then we take it by what it is, by the name given. Like if it says that, Indra, killed Vritrasura, then we'll take it as the demigod Indra. But when someone asks, please teach me about the Supreme, and they say, and then the demigod Indra says, worship Indra, that's not in line with the actual philosophy, because it's the Supreme is Vishnu. So that means, in this case, the word Indra means Vishnu, not the demigod. Does that make sense? So whenever we're discussing, if it's ordinary use of the word is in line with the scripture, we leave it at the ordinary. But when it contradicts, it always goes back to Vishnu. So that's the thing, is that here the followers of Shankara, and not Shankara, Shankya, then something with an S, right?
Sarikya, also. Huh? Sarikya, Sankhya, or Sarikya.
Sarikya means
it's the same thing.
Okay. Okay. So then when they say these words, the meaning they're applying to them is contradictory to what the Shastra is saying. So it's not in its ordinary position. That means you have to refer it back to Vishnu. Right? So when they're trying to attribute the absolute position to the Jiva or to Pradhan, that doesn't apply because all the other definitions contradict that. So that means it must be they're talking about Vishnu. So then you have to take means jiva, meaning, they're everywhere. It's like sand. It gets everywhere, right? You go to some place where the beach is and you come back from there's sand everywhere. Sand in your car, there's sand in your shoes, there's sand in your apartment. It doesn't matter. Where you go, there's sand, right? So sand is everywhere. So that's that aspect of jiva, right? There's jivas everywhere. Wherever you go, there's some bug, there's something there, right? So, but then when it doesn't apply to the jiva, then that about being everywhere, who's actually everywhere? It's the Supreme Lord. He's the one that's all-pervading. So then in that case, the word jiva is talking about him. So that's then the point that's being made here. is that it only has a meaning in this way if it matches what is being said in the context that's there. The words used, the context being used, the point that's being made, the flow of the theory that's being discussed, then it stays in the context of just the general usage of words. But we for the devotees, they always see it in connection with Vishnu. But when it doesn't make sense according to the ordinary, then we're talking about Vishnu. So in either way, it'll be connected to Vishnu. Either it's something that we engage in his service, or it means him himself who we're going to serve. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Do the scriptures also reference the Lord as a jiva? I've never come across.
That's what we were discussing here in Vedanta Sutra.
Not in that sense. You know. That is the Pura Pakshis. You know. They may do whatever they want, but then as Vedantas.
No, but the point is there, because it was in relationship to Lakshmi. So then, that means then, Lakshmi being non-different from him, she can have those qualities of all-pervading.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, the point is that the word, you have to see it in its context, and if in that, what's the running context, that if it means an ordinary usage, you use it that way, and it's not contradictory to the scriptures. If it is contradictory, then you have to go back to the source of that, which is the Lord himself. Right? So that means the Lord, in this case, and it'd be technical, then it's Lakshmi that they're talking about as Jiva. And so, but that, where does that potency come from? Krishna. So it's only when you take it back to Krishna and then his energies, then it makes sense. Otherwise, if you try to say it's the individual soul, it won't make any sense. Is that okay?
Sankarshan is called Jiva sometimes.
Sankarshan.
That's one of his names, because he's a shelter of the Jiva. Right?
Sankarshana is known as Jiva. Sankarshana, because he's the shelter of Jivas. So he's known as Jiva.
This comes in Bhagavatam. It's in Bhagavatam.
Okay. Okay. If the gist of a name doesn't contradict the teachings of Vedas, one must consider the ordinary name. Otherwise, the meaning of name is Lord Vishnu. Vedanta Sutra 2.3.15, the author proves that in truth, names of potencies are primarily the names of the master of these potencies. This is so because the master is the very self of his potencies. Right, so it's talking about Krishna because he's the Lord of his potencies. So if it's referring to his potencies, it's actually him. Now, whether you want to bring it out as him or you want to bring it out as the thing that you're working with, then depends on the context. Therefore, the potency exhibited by and moving, by any moving and non-moving entity, like demigods, men, animals, etc., is essentially the Lord's potency. Because it is the Lord's potency, so that's there, but we could be referring to mankind, we could be referring to the potency of that. Summary of Adhikarana 8. Vishaya. It is stated in Svetasvatara and other Upanishads. Sharam pradanam amritakshara haraha. Pradan is subject to change. Hara is immortal and unchanging. Svetasvatara Upanishad 1.10. Eko rudro na dvitiya ya tastuhu. Only Rudra existed and no one else. Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.2. Yo devanam prabhavas chobhavas cha vishadiko rudra shivo maharshihi. He who is the creation and power of the devatas is the controller of the universe, Rudra, Shiva, the great sage. Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.4. Yada tamas tan na diva na ratrir nasan chaschash Shiva eva. Kevalaha. When there is darkness, there is no day or night, no sat or asat, only Shiva exists. Svetasvatara Upanishad 4.18. Pradanad idam utpannam pradanam adhi gacchati. pradane layam abhyeti na hyanyat karanam matam. From pradan this world arises, and into pradan it goes. The world merges into pradan. There is no other cause. Jivad bhavanti bhutani jive tishtant yachanchala. Jive cha lalyam ichanti na jivat karanam param. All entities arrive from the jiva. Without movement, they remain in the jiva. They merge into the jiva. There is no cause other than the jiva. Right? So you understand? So the words are being used that if you take the ordinary sense, then you attribute it to the demigod Shiva, you would attribute it to Pradhan, you would attribute it to the living entity, the individual soul. But this is what it means. Only Rudra existed and no one else. There's no such thing as that. So then all these cases, you must be talking about Vishnu. Does that make sense? Yeah. Shamshaya, do the names like Hara and Rudra in these verses refer to Shiva or the Supreme Brahman? And do Pradhan and Jiva mean Pradhan and Jiva or the Supreme Brahman? Right? So that's going to be the Purva Paksha.
Right. So why do they write that?
Because these qualities are there, that are there in the Lord. And so, how is the material existence existing? Why is it there? It's existing, it's eternal, and all that. The Lord is there before, but what's the aspect that makes the material creation different from the spiritual?
So they're just talking about the aspect of the Lord that is the destroying
creation. No, that's there, but we're talking about ignorance. Because the whole material, everything in the Mahatattva is in ignorance. It doesn't mean it's controlled by the mode of ignorance. It's in ignorance of their relationship with the Lord. Who's the master of ignorance? Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
So that means this ignorance is coming from him. He's the master of this whole, that. So that means that that flavor of Krishna as Shiva.
Yeah.
That's the aspect we're talking about here. So you can take all the Purusha avatars and describe them from this angle. Like the Hiranyagarbha Shukta, which is about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, by the words being used, you'd think it's Shiva. But actually it's talking about Mahavishnu, because it's that aspect. Because when he glances, then false ego, time, the living entities go into the material nature. Right? So that aspect, that is Shiva. Does that make sense?
So then the Sharvites took that and...
They just take that and make that the whole. That's where they make the mistake. They don't understand it's about Vishnu.
So do they actually put him as the supreme, or do they recognize that Lord Vishnu is the supreme? And
those who are with Sadashiva recognize what you said there.
Okay,
they're devotees of Vishnu as devotees of Lord Shiva.
Okay, so there's two different types.
Yeah, those ones, they're his associates, and the other ones, they end up in all kinds of strange places. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premana ki. Yeah, no, it's just take the easy route. It's just easy to walk from there to here instead of having to go all the way around here.
Yeah. Yeah, two questions, Maharaj. About Vanaprastha.
But why aren't you asking when we're discussing about Vanaprastha? This is the break. You're supposed to be taking advantage of the break. Give your mind some space. All that. So. Okay? Yeah, because otherwise now it's not.
Usually Srila Prabhupada said that Vanaprastha should travel around the whole pilgrimage and spend all their old life to dedicate all their life to Krishna. But we see practically in our temple or our society who is in the head, it's usually not young but mature people, devotees who are full of energy.
Yeah, but they're preaching temple peasants. They're situated however they are in the ashrams. It's just Vanaprastha is one of the ashrams you can be in. Let's do that.
10 minutes, they should be also in management, or?
They may be a service, but they wouldn't necessarily be so involved, but they can be involved, they can help.
But usually can help.
They can help. Generally, they would be more advisory, but they could do something. It depends upon the individual. It's all individual. See, these questions you should ask during the class, because now this discussion is like an hour discussion. It's like, you know, so when you have a question, just raise your hand, okay? Because it's a good question.
Second question. I went in one lecture. I didn't ask again the question, but the question arises: is Paramatma personal or impersonal?
And Paramatma is a person, but the point is he as one person, Kirukshai Vishnu is expanding into everyone's heart, but it's just one person that's there. So he's a person, but it's localized in that he's there, but. We're not dealing with him personally, therefore he is just controlling things. When we deal with him personally, then he's taking on the mood of Bhagavan. Otherwise, he just deals with us formally as Paramatma.
But answer was it's just middle, not personal, not.
Yeah, point is he's a person. He's personal with his associates, but we're not personal with him, so he reciprocates with us according to how we deal. He generically is the Supreme Lord. But the point is
we deal with him that way, that's why he's Paramatma.